We're going to turn to the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. And here we have the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We know him perhaps better as the Apostle Paul. And his name was changed after a time, but at this point he's referred to as Saul. And we remember how the Lord spoke to him as he was on his way to persecute the people of God. And he experienced what we have often referred to and what people often refer to as the Damascus Road experience, the Damascus Road conversion, where he did a complete turnaround. The Lord actually did it in his life. But it says in verse 4 of Acts 9 that Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? We should understand that whenever the devil or the devil's agents put their hand against the Lord's people, they're putting their hand against the Lord himself. And we should always understand that. And people don't understand it. People in churches even don't understand it. That when they put their hand against God's work, they're putting their hand against the Lord himself. And therefore it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. To persecute, to oppose God's work and God's people. And so the Lord here said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And we know that Saul was persecuting Christians, the disciples of the Lord, but Jesus, if I might use the term reverently, took it personally. Because he is the head, his people are the body, and he is jealous for his people. They are the apple of his eye. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, this is what I want us to think about today, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, in these Bible classes, we are thinking about the subject of going on with God, making progress in our Christian lives. And if I again refer to that verse that we've referred to many, many times in these studies, 2 Peter 3:18, the command is given to every Christian, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are many things involved in growing in grace. There are many things that the Lord uses in order to cause us to grow. Whenever we're planting things in our gardens, we're always struck with the fact when we come round to springtime that the ground is hard, it needs to be dug up, it needs to be ploughed, you need to put the tiller in there or whatever it is that you use to break up the fallow ground, and then you plant the seed, and then you tend to that seed in order that it might grow. If there's not enough rain, then you water the seed, and you pray that the sunshine will come, and that will help the seed to grow, and it will germinate, and you work with it, and you cultivate the soil, and you take out the weeds, and you take out the stones, and anything that you think is going to hinder the growth. Just yesterday I was out spraying my fruit trees in our backyard because I know that there are critters already trying to take over. And the flowers aren't even on there yet, but they build those horrible things that look like cotton candy. You know those things. And they're full of little worms, and then they develop into other critters, and they attack the fruit eventually and attack the tree. So I was out there trying to get a jump on that. That's what God does with us. That's what the Lord does with us. In order that we might grow, he digs around us. He prunes the plant. He tends to the seed, if you like, earlier. And he causes all the influences that are needed to come upon us. And some of those include trials and testings and afflictions and problems. These are all things that enable us to grow in grace. Now, what I want to talk about today in relation to growing in grace is the matter of following the Lord's direction and the Lord's guidance in our lives. One of the biggest problems that we face as Christians is knowing at any given time the will of God. And sometimes that is presented, even by preachers, as a one-time shot. You know, here's the point at which you get converted. And then a little bit further on, or maybe quite a bit further on, you find out what God's will is for your life, and then you do it. Well, there may be a sense in which that is true, and particularly in regard to people who are in ministry, someone who believes that their life is to be given over, for example, to foreign missions. There may be that point in their life where they recognize, this is what God wants me to do. But even in that person's life, there's an ongoing seeking of the Lord's will and direction and guidance as to where he should minister. Because, as we know, missionaries, when they go to a certain part of the world, don't always stay there. Sometimes they'll move to another place. And even if they do stay in the same place, they still have to seek from day to day the will of God. Now, one thing I noticed about Saul of Tarsus, Paul, when he was first converted, right from the get-go, as we would say here in America, he wanted to know God's will for his life. And that's why he prayed. Acts 9, verse 6, the Lord answered him, verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He didn't say, now Lord, this is what I want to do. Now, Lord, I've decided that this would be good for me to do. Will you let me do that? That's not what happened. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's a wonderful thing. It shows me that already this man is growing in grace. He's only just been converted, but he's already showing signs that he is converted. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do now? Is basically what he was saying. He was looking for guidance. He was looking for direction. How can I know what God's will is on any given day? How can I know what the Lord wants me to do? Those are things that every Christian has to grapple with. And I think that there are people who foolishly try to devise their own method of discovering God's will. One man called it the lucky dip method. You know how that goes. You close your eyes and you open your Bible and you put your finger down and see what it is that the Lord wants me to do. Well, don't be surprised if you use that haphazard method that you come up with something a bit strange at times. The story is told. I'm not sure where it happened or when it happened, but it really doesn't matter. Someone tried this method, and the first verse that he found when he did that lucky dip was, Judas went out and hanged himself. He was reading from Matthew 27. And he thought, oh, that's no good. So he closed his eyes, opened his Bible again, put his finger down, and guess what he read this time? Luke chapter 10, verse 37. Go and do thou likewise. So if he had been following that method of Bible study and finding the Lord's will and finding the Lord's direction, he would have been in serious trouble. He would have been breaking God's law. But this is a serious thing. How do we find out the will of God? We don't use that, what I've called the lucky dip method. We don't go to our little promise box and try to find ongoing direction from our lives from that. And let me just put this little caveat in there. I'm not against promise boxes. I've seen these little things. You may have seen them as well, where there's a they come in various forms, but there's these little cards. There's hundreds of them, probably 365 of them. But anyway, you can reach in there and you can pluck out a promise for today. I don't have any problem with that, because all of those are pre-chosen and they're all good verses. They're all not like go and hang thyself or something like that. They're all, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, or trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and so forth and so on. They're all good verses. But when we're seeking for the will of God, we need to understand that that's not the method that we use to find out definitively what the will of God is for our lives. I do believe in providence, and we'll come to that in a moment. In providence, the Lord can even direct us in a verse of Scripture. Even in providence, the Lord could have you to walk out in the morning as I do and pull off the next calendar verse for that day, and that very day, which has been pre-chosen by somebody else, there's a word for me that day from that verse. Now, that has happened to me many, many times. But I'm not living my life thinking, okay, I'm going to find out direction from God today by going to my calendar and then pulling that off. That's not what I do. I just believe that providentially, oftentimes, the Lord has a word for us in those circumstances. There are times the Lord brings a verse to our attention. He fixes it upon our minds. But that's very different from, you know, close your eyes method and put your finger on the page. Some Christians rely for God's will upon inner feelings or thoughts in their minds, and they will say, sort of in a trite fashion, well, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. Well, how do you know the Lord told you? And I could tell you that the Lord told me something, and it may or may not be true. And you may say, well, you say the Lord told you that, but he hasn't told me that. Like a guy who came into our church once when I ministered in Scotland, and he was starting to tell me about what the Lord had told him to do as regards ministering in our church. And I told him, well, I'm sorry, but in the absence of extra-biblical revelation, the Lord speaking with a voice from heaven, I believe God has placed me as the teaching elder in this church, and he has told me to do things decently and in order. And you may tell me that the Lord has told you something, but he hasn't told me about it. And in the absence of him telling me about it, I'm telling you it's not happening. And he never came back, of course. But I wasn't surprised by that. There are people like that, though. And they have these notions that God will guide us by, you know, if we close our eyes and just think about it, that the Lord will guide us. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not how the Lord directs his people. Now, God does speak to his people, and God does direct us in our hearts, and we'll also come to that after a time. But we should always be looking for what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us clearly in his word. No matter what it is that you or I go to do, I don't care whether it's a minister or someone who works in secular employment, as we call it, God is never going to lead his child to do anything that he has forbidden in Scripture. That's never going to happen. When someone tells me, and they have done, oh, God told me to do this, and I recognize right away that what they're telling me God has told them to do is contrary to the Scriptures. I know that somebody may have told them, but it wasn't God. It wasn't the Lord that directed them. If we're people who are growing in grace, we're going on with God, and that's what this is all about, going on with God from day to day, we're going to be seeking to do the will of God, but in the recognition and in the knowledge that God is not going to command us to do something contrary to his word. And something else in this context is very important. God is not going to command you to do contrary things. You know, the Lord's not going to tell you to do this and then 5 minutes later tell you to do that, which is the opposite of this. The Lord doesn't give us contrary commands. The Lord doesn't show us something from one scripture and then contradict it with another. Now here's something about the guidance of the Lord that we must understand as we go on with him from day to day. The psalmist said, and I quote Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I've always taken that verse in this way. A lamp is that which illuminates the immediate circumstance or the immediate place where you're at. A lamp is something that irradiates that which is right there before you. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It shows us where we are, but it's a light to our path. And a light to our path is something that shines out ahead of us. It's not a lamp. It's brighter than a lamp. And a light to my path is the Lord giving me ongoing direction and ongoing guidance. Notice it again. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It shows me where I am, and it's a light to my path. It shows me where I'm going. There are situations that we face in everyday life And the Word of God gives us clear parameters and guidelines as to what the will of God is. The Lord is not going to tell you something in as many words that is not found in Scripture. For example, I've just recently purchased a vehicle as a second vehicle. I did not hear any voice from heaven telling me, "Thou shalt buy a Chevy," whatever it is. You're not going to find that in the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak about those things. But what you do is, when you're seeking the will of God, you seek to do that which is in keeping with the Scripture. And if I think that by doing something like that, I'm going to put myself in a hole financially, then I better not do it. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God for me to put myself in trouble in order that I might do something that I want to do or that I feel I would like to do. There are guidelines that the Scripture gives us that we have to obey. Now, if the Bible says you must do certain things, it's not guidance you need, it's obedience. Some people think, well, I need the Lord to guide me in this. I'll have to have the Lord to show me what I should do here in this situation. But the situation they're referring to is something that has a clear command attached to it. So you don't need guidance on that. You need obedience. You know, I don't need to pray about whether I should keep the Lord's day, because the commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, right? So I don't need guidance about that. Well, I wonder should I not. This is something that's clear. And there are other examples that I could give, many, many other examples, where it's clear what God wants us to do. We don't need to ask the Lord, "Now, Lord, should I pray?" That's silly, isn't it? That's foolish to think that you would need guidance. "Oh, Lord, should I read your word? Or maybe should I not read your word?" We don't need guidance about that. We need obedience. We need willingness to do the will of God. Now, if you will follow in faithfulness every day the guidelines that are already laid down in the Bible, you're going to find that when you come to the big decisions and the more difficult issues of life, the Lord is going to reveal his will to you, because God reveals his will to those who are willing. Many years ago, over 30 years ago, I was struggling with what it was that the Lord wanted me to do with my life. And I believed even then God was starting to deal with me about ministry, but there was a little bit of unwillingness there. And I think a lot of it was based on fear and trepidation and thinking, "Well, I could never do that. I could never do that." And I came to the point where I realized, you're right. You're absolutely right. You can't do that. But you can if God sends you to do it. If the Lord sends you to do it, he will equip you in order to do it. And when I came to the point where I said, "Lord, I am willing to do what you want me to do," that's when God began to show me clearly what his will was for my life. If we're willing to do the will of God, that's the important thing. And we must realize that everyday submission to God's will, everyday obedience to God's will, in what we might call the ordinary routine of life, is going to make it easier for us to find out what the will of God is in the bigger things. We're willing to do God's will steadily as we walk with him from day to day. When it comes to the big decisions, we will be willing for the will of God. Now, we have to understand this, that sometimes we get a strong conviction about something. We get a strong urge, you might call it, or a feeling that we should do a certain thing. And we're wondering in our minds, and I'm sure you can empathize with this, is this the will of God or is it just me? Is it just the Lord speaking to me, or not just the Lord speaking to me? Is it just myself thinking about this? Is it something else? Is it even the devil entering in to try to confuse me? Or is this the Lord? Is it just something that's in my own heart that I really want to do, and I'm hoping that it is the will of God? Now, how do we distinguish between those? Well, I think there are certain guidelines, if I could put it that way. There are certain things that we have to mark out right away. And the first one is, am I praying about this? Because if what it is that I desire to do, or I'm thinking that I might do, if it's something that I can't pray to God about, if it's something that I can't really ask the Lord about because I know what the answer is already going to be from the Lord, then that's not good. If we can't pray honestly with a willingness for the Lord's direction in that, then we're not submissive to His will. Can I pray about this? Have I prayed about this? And then another point. Am I earnestly seeking from the Scriptures to find out what the Lord is telling me? And I'm not talking about the lucky dip or, you know, the odd verse here and there, but in my ongoing walk with God, as I read His Word consecutively from day to day, I go through the Bible consecutively, I have a daily readings program, I'm not departing from that, and that reading for that day is where I'm going to get a word from God. Am I seeking to do that? Am I listening for a word from God, even through a message that is preached? You know, very often people, not very often, but once in a while in my ministry, I've had people say, you know, whatever it was that you were preaching there, it was almost like you knew all my circumstances and all my inner thoughts. And I have to assure people that is not the case. You know, I'm not sitting at home and thinking, well, that would be a great word for so-and-so in the church, and that would be a really good word for so-and-so. I believe that as we preach the word, the Lord will direct us. The Lord will show us what we need to preach on, the things that we need to say as we're preaching. And I've been astounded myself to be in services where other men are preaching, and they're preaching about things that are in my own heart at that very time. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit directing, guiding, and leading them in His way. And as well as praying, and as well as reading the Word, do I have that willingness before God ever tells me what it is? Do I have that willingness to do what He wants me to do? That's part of growing in grace. That's a test of if you're growing in grace. Am I growing in grace? Here's one of the evidences of that. That I'm willing for whatever the will of God is. And if you put all those things together, you certainly would have reason to believe that the Holy Spirit is directing and guiding you in the way. Now, we have wonderful promises from God about guidance. And I'm so very thankful for this verse, Psalm 32, verse 8. And I've had to plead this verse. I've had to take this verse before the Lord many times in my life and ministry. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And you'll notice that the next verse speaks about that willingness. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Oftentimes, especially in the case of a mule, verse 9 mentions that animal. One thing that the mule is known for above anything else, what is it? Stubbornness, right? The mule is stubborn. I remember my late father-in-law having this wonderful idea that he was going to, in his retirement, hitch up these two mules together to a buggy, and he was going to ride around the countryside out there where they lived in Iowa. Well, he got the mules together and got everything on, and he got the cart and everything all set in place, and he's sitting there. And guess what happened? They weren't going anywhere. They could not be persuaded to go anywhere, and he had to abandon the whole project. They're mules. They're stubborn. They have their own mind. They want to do their own thing. And the Lord says, be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. Don't be like that. Don't be unwilling. Don't be stubborn. Don't be resisting. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a tremendous double promise that is. And I think sometimes guidance is a problem because we don't really want to know God's will. And I'm speaking to myself here. Sometimes we've decided ahead of time what we intend to do, and we're looking for some kind of a word, some kind of an assent for what we're planning to do to ease our conscience. We'll be able to say, well, this is what the Lord told me, when it was nothing of the sort. And we need to be asking ourselves, am I willing for the will of God? Someone said, if you ask three or four other believers for advice about a certain problem, and the Bible does say that in a multitude of counselors there is safety. But say you ask three or four Christians for advice about a certain thing, and they all tell you the same thing. And yet you insist on going on asking a bunch of others. The likelihood is that you're not really interested in finding out God's will, but you're waiting to get that Christian who will tell you what you want to hear. Right? I mean, that happens. That's human nature. We're sort of looking for people to agree with what we have already decided to do. And that's not seeking the leading or the guiding of the Lord. Growing in grace involves being willing to do the will of God. Sometimes God reveals his will clearly too, and we can misunderstand that because our own feelings enter in. You could take the case of those believers in Acts chapter 21 who didn't want the Apostle Paul to leave them. And if you read it carefully, Acts chapter 21, you will see that they actually pleaded with God's servant not to leave them. Paul, don't go. Don't go. You're needed here. Acts chapter 21, and reading from verse number 10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, that's Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Please, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Look at what's going to happen if you get there. And notice Paul's answer. What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And there you have people who are growing in grace. There are people who are seeking truly the will of God. Of course, their love for the Apostle Paul, their desire not to see him thrown into prison, colored their judgment. Their motives were very pure, but their ideas were completely wrong. It was contrary to God's will. We have to come to the position where we say the will of the Lord be done no matter what. No matter what. I think we need to remember that we should never make major decisions when we're in a low spiritual condition. I think sometimes people get away out of the will of God and go off into bypath meadow because they're not walking with God. And we need to be seeking to be right with God that we might know his will. Psalm 23 tells us that the Lord guides us, that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God always leads us in a path that's going to produce righteousness, holiness. It's going to lead us in the proper direction. It's going to be good for us spiritually. God always guides us not away from himself, but toward himself. He always does. And we have to be careful always. I have to be careful of not taking things into my own hands. If the Lord closes a door before me, I'm not to, you know, in frustration and impatience, try to smash that door open. Take a sledgehammer of my own and try to break it down, because that's what I want to do. I've faced that very thing in my ministry and in my life. God opens the right doors at the right time. When I was given my testimony about coming to Allentown to minister here, and it's in, I believe it's recorded and is available on the internet, from many years ago I spoke about this. I used Acts chapter 16 as the basis of that, and we haven't time to study that this morning, but if you look at it carefully, you'll find that those that were seeking to minister for the Lord had ideas about where it is that they should minister. There were places they tried to go to, and the Lord forbade them. The Lord stopped them from going there. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. When they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And then eventually the Lord showed them what his will was. I think that just to sum up here, there are four things that would need to come together when we're seeking God's will. There's prayer, much prayer. We must bathe any decisions that we're going to make in prayer. The Lord guides us as we pray. There are portions of the Word of God. We must study his Word and get a word from God, be careful about picking out verses that suit you and leaving ones that don't. Portions of Scripture. Providences. That's a big thing. The Lord definitely makes His will known in providence. He guides and directs us in the things that take place. And then fourthly, peace. In doing the will of God, you're not going to be in turmoil. Maybe in finding out the will of God, you'll be in turmoil. But in doing the will of God, there's no turmoil. There's no turmoil. I thank God for the peace that He puts in our hearts when we're right bang in the center of His will. Where we're meant to be, where we're meant to be at, there's peace there. The peace of God that passeth knowledge and all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So may the Lord help us to be guided. If we're willing to be guided, I certainly believe the Lord will guide us for His own glory. Amen and amen.